Remote areas and villages do not trust Americans, but they do trust their own people. And they will hear the good news that will bring more into the kingdom of God. Next one. Education is the key to it all. For just $80 a year, 22 cents a day, we can sponsor a child to get an education. That $80 buys a uniform, shirt, pant, skirt, t-shirt, shoes, socks, backpacks, school supplies, and provides two meals each day. And it equips them with reading skills to read a Bible and share it, and thinking skills to process the Word of God, thinking skills to discern the evil, cultural rituals, leadership skills to begin changing their culture and impacting God's kingdom. At the service for our precious friend Woody yesterday, we heard from so many how he had a Bible, a commentary, a Bible dictionary, Bible study books open on his table all the time, studying, and how he used his educated knowledge to bring many into God's kingdom. We have this divine opportunity to make a huge impact on the kingdom of God by educating the children in the DR so that a Dominican Woody can be raised up. That $80 a year sponsorship has a mighty, powerful punch in God's kingdom and salvation plan, and it will save lives. Thank you all for your love, prayer, and support of our mission. We are making a huge difference. I love these children so much. And please keep the family and community of our young boy in your prayers in the weeks and months to come.
Thanks, Sharon. All of our children can go with Mr. Eric. He's in the back. So children, you can go to our children's ministry, Children of God. For all the adults, take out your Bibles, turn to the book of Ruth. We are in chapter 2 now of our study through this great book. And also take out the notes that are in your bulletin. They'll serve as an outline for us. If you have not been with us in our study of Ruth, I just want to go back a little bit to catch you up to where we've been. I know people have been on vacation, so I want to be sure everybody is up to date with the story of where we're at before we go into the last part of chapter 2 so that you understand a little bit of the context of what was going on. So big picture, there's four chapters in the book of Ruth. The whole book is about this theme of redemption. To redeem means to buy back or to pay off a debt. And as we'll learn at the end of chapter 4, ultimately the pinnacle of redemption in Ruth is that she would be a predecessor for King David, who would ultimately be in the line of our great Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So the story begins in chapter 1. This husband and wife, Elimelech and his wife, Naomi, they leave Israel because there's a famine. They move to a foreign land about 100 miles away. They take with them their two sons to Moab. They're not married at the time. As they move into Moab, they meet and marry two foreign women, two Moabite women. They remain there in Moab childless for about 10 years. And then Elimelech and his two sons tragically die. And so Naomi is left with her two Moabite widow daughters-in-law. One of the Moabite wives, Orpah, returns back to her home, to her family in Moab. But the other Moabite, Ruth, decides to go back to Bethlehem with her mother-in-law. And one of the cool parts of the book of Ruth is in verses 16 and 17 of chapter 1. Ruth says to Naomi this, "Don't urge me to leave or to turn back from following you, for where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. And where you ultimately die, there I will be buried." Then we move into chapter 2, and Ruth determines, as they've moved back into Israel now, that she's going to make provision for herself and for her mother-in-law. She heads out into the fields. It's the barley harvest time of year, and she's going to glean from the fields. To glean means to pick up what's left over after the reapers are done. And so by God's providence, chapter 2, verse 3, it says Ruth just happened to find herself in the fields of a relative of her father-in-law, Elimelech. And the owner of those fields, his name is Boaz. And he begins to show in the first part of chapter 2 a spiritual interest, and we learned last week maybe a little bit of a romantic interest, and we'll see how that continues to blossom today. So Boaz sees this woman in the fields, a foreigner, and he instructs Ruth not to seek to go to any other fields because as a lonely widow by herself without the protection of a man, she was very vulnerable. And Boaz says, I'll protect you. You stay in my fields. There'll be provision for you, and you'll be safe under my care. So now we pick up the story in verse 14. At mealtime, Boaz said to her, come here, that you may eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread into the vinegar. So she did eat beside the reapers, and he served her roasted grain, and she ate and was satisfied and had some left. When she rose to glean, Boaz commanded his servants, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not insult her. And also you shall purposely pull out her some grain from the bundles, from the sheaves, from the collection, and let it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her. So she gleaned in the field until evening, and then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. She took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gathered. She took it out, and she gave it to Naomi what she had left after she was satisfied. Her mother-in-law then said to her, where did you glean today, and where did you work? May he who took notice of you be blessed. So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, the name of the man with whom I work today is Boaz. Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, may he be blessed by the Lord who has not withdrawn his kindness to the living and to the dead. And again, Naomi said to her, the man is our relative. He is one of our closest relatives. Then Ruth the Moabitess said, furthermore, he said to me, you shall stay close to my servants until they have finished all my harvest. Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that you go out with his maids so that others do not fall upon you in another field. So she stayed close by the maids of Boaz in order to glean until the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest. And she lived with her mother-in-law. So Boaz and Ruth in our text today teach us the importance of taking care of family in five different ways. Let's back up to verse 14. It was mealtime. Boaz says to Ruth, come here that you may eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. So Ruth sits down beside the reapers, the co-workers that she had been laboring with all day. And Boaz, he served her roasted grain, and she ate and was satisfied and had some left. And so Boaz teaches here the importance of taking care of family by meeting their physical needs. As Ruth works out in the field all day long in the hot sun, it comes to mealtime, and Boaz invites her to dine with his workers. It was the custom of the day to take a piece of bread and to dip it into wine vinegar. That's what the kind of vinegar. It was a wine sauce kind of thing. And the tradition continues on today. When you eat in Israel, there's often served for you a loaf of bread with some type of wine or some type of dipping sauce to dip the bread into. And so he serves Ruth roasted grain. Now, guys, I want you to pay attention here. Y'all, guys, you paying attention? This still works today. Your wife, your girlfriend, you serve your wife. That's a good thing. So what was Boaz doing here? He's beginning to show something beyond, I mean, certainly he was courteous. He was a humble man. He was a caring man. He was a giving man. But also, we see another blossom of the romance here. And so guys, just want you to know, Boaz is probably looking at Ruth and assuming that her love language was service. And so what does he do? He serves her. Now, keep this in mind. He's a wealthy landowner, very prosperous. He had servants. They could have served her. But no, he does the important thing. He serves his wife. And young ladies who aren't married yet, This is the kind of dude you're looking for when you're looking for a husband.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And it's important to note, guys, this isn't just when you're courting, when you're hoping to get the girl. This is something long after we're married. So wives, bump your husbands in the ribs. Say, pay attention to the preacher. He's got a good point right here today. And I want to notice something here too important. Boaz didn't just serve Ruth. Who else? Look at the text in verse 14. Who else did Boaz serve? We'll get to the mother in a minute. He serves his employees. So those of you who are managers, supervisors, there's a lesson here for us too. As leaders in whomever, maybe you have your own company, you have people that work for you, or maybe you're a manager in a company. It's never beneath the point of the boss to serve the employees. He takes care of them. He is showing God's kindness to them. He is showing them what a humble servant does by meeting their needs. Verse 15. When she arose to glean, that's Ruth, Boaz commanded his servants. Now notice his kindness again. He's saying, let her glean even among the sheaves and don't insult her. Also, you shall purposely pull out for her some grain from the bundles and leave it so that she may glean even among the sheaves and don't insult her. Also, you shall purposely pull out for her some grain from the bundles and leave it so that she may glean and do not rebuke her. So Boaz teaches us, secondly, the importance of taking care of family by giving generously, Boaz shows his kindness, his tenderness, his continuing affection for Ruth by guaranteeing her safety. He provides for her water that she didn't draw. He provides her the ability to pick up leftover grain without the co-workers impeding her in any way. And he instructs the servant to leave a little bit of extra behind. And the text says there in verse 17 that she collected about an ephah of grain. That's about 30 to 40 pounds, somewhere in that ballpark. So just gleaning after, picking up the leftover scraps, she didn't have a combine, she didn't have any big equipment, that's a lot. A bushel of barley is 48 pounds. So almost two-thirds of a bushel she was able to glean and pick up by hand of shelled grain at the end of the day. And notice she didn't stop working at the end of the day when she had collected the grain. She even beat it out and threshed it so that she could carry the grain home to her mother-in-law that night. Verse 18, so Ruth takes it up, goes into the city, goes home to her mother-in-law, and Naomi sees what her daughter-in-law has gleaned, and she takes it out. And she takes the leftover of what she had from her lunch meal and gives it to Naomi. And so Ruth teaches us the importance of giving sacrificially. Notice what Ruth did at lunchtime. She didn't eat everything that was provided for her. She could have stuffed herself, but she kept some back for her mother-in-law that she could give to her mother-in-law sacrificially. I'm sure she could have used it laboring in the hot sun for a long day. She could have used that sustenance, but she put some aside for her mother-in-law to take care of her. Verse 19, her mother-in-law Naomi then said to her, where did you glean today and where did you work? May he who took notice of you be blessed. And so he told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, the name of the man with whom I work today is Boaz. Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, may he be blessed to the Lord who's not withdrawn his kindness to the living and to the dead. And again, Naomi said to her, the man is our relative. He is one of our closest relatives. Ruth teaches us how to receive graciously. And Naomi invoked Yahweh, or the Lord's blessing, over Boaz, knowing that her daughter-in-law could have never repaid, never could have collected everything on her own had God not been gracious to her. And so Naomi sees the blessing that God has given, and she prays for a blessing over their kinsman, their relative. Now, this is the first time we see this word kinsman in the text, and it's going to become a really important word in the second part of the book. The word here, kinsman or relative, is the Hebrew goel, which means a kinsman redeemer. And a kinsman redeemer in Bible times had three responsibilities and three opportunities. Number one, a kinsman redeemer had opportunity to buy back land that had belonged to a family member, and in this case, Elimelech. So Boaz, by being the kinsman redeemer, would have had the opportunity to buy back land that Elimelech gave up when he went to Moab. Number two, Boaz would have had the opportunity to carry on Elimelech's name by marrying Ruth and one day ultimately giving her a son. Keep that in mind. That'll be important as we get to chapters 3 and 4. And number three, the responsibility of the kinsman redeemer was to take care of the needy and the helpless members of the family. And so Boaz sees that, and notice what he's doing all throughout this text. He is responding to God's call on him to be responsible to care for his family. The chapter concludes with these words, verse 21. Ruth the Moabite said, "Furthermore, he said to me, 'You should stay close to my servants until they finished all my harvest.'" Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It's good, my daughter-in-law, that you go out with his maid so that others don't fall upon you in another field." So Ruth stayed close by the maids of Boaz in order to glean until the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest, and she lived with her mother-in-law. And so fifth, Boaz teaches us the importance of taking care of family by providing protection. Ruth was vulnerable to physical assault. She was vulnerable to social separation as a foreigner. And Boaz is providing that protection and provision for her for a period of about 7 weeks. The barley harvest into the wheat harvest would have taken almost 2 months back then. And Boaz is making sure that she's provided for and taken care of during that time. So how do we apply this text to our lives? What does a story that's over 3,000 years, 3,500 years ago, have to do with us today? And a couple of things. Number one, all of us have the opportunity to be generous at times. We can provide food and clothing and financial support to others. We can take care of health needs of family members. We can provide love and encouragement and friendship. We can provide emotional support. And by the way, this isn't just biological family here, what God is calling us to. This is spiritual family as well. All of us are aware of those around us who are in need. And God would call us, just as God called Boaz, to respond in love. You know, Jesus affirmed this as our responsibility. Jesus said, "The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength." And then the second commandment is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. I had the privilege of seeing this in operation this week in our community. Saw a family who was in need and a guy who had the ability to provide the need. And he did it. A great sacrifice for himself, a lot of time and energy and effort. And he's a busy guy, very busy. And I just said to him, I said, "Why? Why would you do this?" And he just looked at me, "Tom," he said, "it's real simple." And he pointed to this command: "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Awesome. Awesome story to see people reaching out, because it's what God calls us to do. And so all of us see people with needs around us. And will we be like Boaz? We see a need, like my friend who saw a need. Step up and provide it. Because that's what God calls us to do, to take care of each other. Who's my brother? Who's my mother? Who's my relative? Who's my neighbor? Remember the story? Jesus told a story about that. They came to him and said, "Okay, who should I take care of?" And Jesus told him the story of the Good Samaritan, a despised Samaritan, a half-breed, somebody who Jews hated. And Jesus said, "Yeah, that's the kind of guy you should take care of. That's your neighbor." Secondly, for those who have not yet put your hope in Jesus Christ, do it today. He's promised to provide a future for us, regardless of how bleak it may look right now. Ruth came back from Moab to Israel. She had no hope. She was a widow. She had nobody to provide for her. She had nobody to take care of her. But she had a hope. She had a promise. She knew through Naomi and Elimelech of the God of Israel. And she said, I'm going to place my hope, I'm going to place my faith in God and in God alone. And she journeys to a people she didn't know, to a land she had never been in faith, believing that God would provide. The Apostle Paul in the book of Romans wrote about that. He said, may the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Ruth and Naomi began to have hope through Boaz. Church, we have hope through Jesus Christ and what he has done. Boaz set the example for us, pointing us to our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, friends, if you haven't trusted him today, then may the God of hope fill you with all peace and joy through Jesus Christ today. May you meet him and believe in him and trust him as your Savior today. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your provision for us, and thank you for the way that you showed us how we should take care of one another. Lord, often your provision for us is by others reaching out to us, by giving emotional support, spiritual support, financial support, loves, hugs, encouragement. When we're down or discouraged or we need something, there's brothers and sisters in Christ who are around us who can meet those needs. God, all of us, if we just think for a few seconds, can think of somebody that we know that's lonely, that's down, that's discouraged, that's depressed, that needs a friend, needs love, needs encouragement. So God, help us to be like Boaz. Lord, give us eyes to see those needs. Give us ears to hear words. And Father, get us off our comfort, out of our comfort zones, out of our areas where we want to retreat to. I know the days get long. We all work hard, and our evenings are filled with chores around the house, and it's hard to find time to do these things. But Boaz found the time. He found the ways to encourage a lonely, discouraged widow in need. And Lord, you did the same when you sent our son. He came and left his home in heaven to give us all the hope that we would ever need, that we could cling to Jesus Christ and to him alone and have a future and a promise and an inheritance. So God, thank you. Thank you that you provided that for us. Lord, may we never lose that. And God, I pray for any that are here today or hearing this on CD or through our website that don't know you, that they would take that step of faith and believing in Jesus Christ, trusting in him for eternal life. And now, Lord, hear our prayers as Brother Joe comes to lift up our prayers of intercession.
Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to gather here this morning. Lord, pray that you would be with Kate, Lord. Pray that you would just help her to seek you before making any major decisions, Lord. Just thank you that you're the God of wisdom and of hope, Lord. Lord, we pray that you would just be with Sue and the Quisenberry family and all those that are grieving the loss of a loved one recently, Lord. Pray that you would just send your Holy Spirit to comfort their hearts and just grant them a peace through this season in their lives, Lord. Just help them to be able to have the clarity of mind to make the necessary decisions in the days moving forward. And just that they would be able to feel your presence and your love. Lord, we pray that you would be with Darren as his chemo begins tomorrow, Lord. Pray that you would just fight back the cancer, Lord, and that you would sustain his physical body through these treatments. Pray that you would just be with all those that are having physical struggles, Lord, and I pray that you would just be with them and heal them, Lord, and just help us to be there to support them as their friends and neighbors, Lord. I pray that you would be with those in destructive or unhealthy relationships. I pray that you would just help those people to recognize those relationships and to seek your guidance as to how to proceed, Lord. Just keep them safe and just bring the people into their lives that can be there for them and just show them your love and wisdom, Lord. Lord, we pray for people with destructive habits, Lord, whether that's addictions or other things. I pray that you would help them to realize the need to leave these behind and to pursue you with their entire heart, Lord. Lord, we pray that you would be with Jeremy Martin's dad as he's in the hospital in Florida, Lord. I pray that you would just give the doctors wisdom as to what his test results are and how to move forward, Lord. Pray that you would just heal and strengthen his body, Lord, and just be with the family, help them to through this time and to just to know best how to support him as well. Lord, we pray that you would be with community and family in Batay 9 of this boy who died, Lord. Pray that this would be an opportunity for you to just to grow in their hearts and in the community, Lord. I thank you for the change and the impact that you're making down there. And just pray that you would continue to bring joy to the community, Lord, and that your name would be lifted high and praised. And Lord, we thank you so much for Stan and Vive's 52 years of marriage. I pray that you would bless them with many more years, Lord. We thank you for their joy and their hope and their ministry, Lord. Just pray that that would be a goal for all of us, Lord, whether that's in a marriage relationship or whether that's in our relationship with you, Lord. Just help us to be willing to commit and to follow through with our commitments and do so with a joyful and grateful heart, Lord. Just be with us this week. Help us to see the opportunities you place before us to bless those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.